Gentlemen, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Switzer.
Mm-hmm.
I am Jeremy Lance.
Yep.
Hey, what is up?
Nothing.
Nope.
No.
Nothing at all?
No, nothing at all.
Cool.
My soccer season's done.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Spurs are no longer title chasing.
I heard about that.
So I'm just calling it quits.
That's a bummer.
This will be the last show of the season. I'm done talking about this.
You sound like you're just going to, like, after this podcast, just, like, walk into the ocean.
If there were an ocean that was close enough for me to walk into, that might be considered.
Well, before you do that jaunt into the sea to never be seen or heard from again, we do have soccer to talk about. Lots of it.
Damn it.
We got FA Cup. I don't know if you saw any of that.
A couple
Tasty.
Minutes. Yeah.
There was a few Premier League matches that were also kind of spritzed throughout the weekend.
And then some even?
Yeah. There was one today.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Two teams that had literally nothing to play for.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got domestic stuff, and we have, you know, Champions League semifinals we're getting ready for, and I feel like something else happened. Oh, yeah, that's right. Arsene Wenger. He out.
He's actually out.
It's happening.
You are not holding a sign right now requesting that.
No. No signs.
Yeah, that did happen, so I guess before I walk into the sea, I'll be happy to talk a little bit about Arsenal misery.
Is that just keeping you going anymore?
I guess I'm feeling a little buoyed now, so if nothing else.
Well, there you go.
I'm feeling good. So, yeah, I'll stick around. Maybe we'll have another show after this one after all. Before we do any of that, though, I think we should start in a place that basically encompasses our misery, and that is the fantasy.
Right.
All of it.
Fantasy double dip.
Just in general. Let's start in the Premier League as we normally do. Seven shows running. J Slacks, Lawyers, Guns, and Mane remaining at the top. Just a few weeks left, so it seems pretty likely that he'll claim a title
and win
bragging rights.
Yeah, wins nothing.
Yeah.
I would say he wins a mention on the podcast, but he's probably had about 50 of them by now.
There is no singular person who doesn't actually do anything in the world of soccer outside of play fantasy that's ever gotten more mentions on this show than J Slack.
That's accurate, yes.
There are times when J Slack's not even in the top five, and we bring him up.
We just mention him anyway. Hey, where's that guy? Where's that guy?
Yeah. You and I both actually improved this week, three places apiece.
Ooh.
How about that? Improvement, a little six-pack improvement from us. I moved up to 71st. You moved up to 130th. So you remain out of the bottom 10.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for there.
Mm-hmm. Out of the 21 entrants over on the MLS side, Sarkar's GFC still remains on top. That's six shows in a row for him. Already has an 87-point lead in the MLS table, which seems pretty likely that he's going to hold on to it at least for a bit longer. I went nowhere. Stayed right in dead second to last. In 20th, you fell two places to 15th. So you're trying to come and find me down at the bottom of the table.
I'm going to get you.
Soon enough. And there is our miserable update in the fantasy realm. Let's get into reality. And let's start with the only thing that's going to keep me happy. Misery at Arsenal. Maybe
Banger
even positivity at Arsenal. It really depends on how you want to look at this one.
All right. So Arsene Wenger, this was what? Thursday? Friday?
I think it was Friday.
One of the days of the week last week.
Yeah.
Towards the end there. We all, at least here in the U.S., woke up to this news.
Mm-hmm.
This broke like around like 4 or 5 a.m., I think. And
I'm pretty sure when I was – I had a late night of soccer on Thursday evening.
Oh, boy.
And got back Friday in the
Friday
wee
night.
Hours. And I'm pretty sure in over the NPR station that I often listen to,
yeah.
They play BBC News
right.
late at night and in the early hours of the morning. And I heard it in there. So
it may have been
around roughly 2 a.m. if I'm not having to guess.
Here's something with the president. Here's Syria news.
And then also Wenger out.
Wenger out.
And I almost ran my car off the road. Because it was like, I'm sorry,
what did you just say?
And so then as soon as I got here, I ended up, you know, staying up an extra hour trying to confirm that and being like, wow, I guess it's actually a thing.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like it feels, for something that we all knew needed to happen
right.
a while ago.
And have been calling for, some people have been demanding, we've all been speculating for, what, like, this is almost, maybe like the third season?
Yeah.
Where that's kind of been brewing?
Been the, like the norm.
Right.
Because there have been whispers about this for a long time now.
Sure.
Back when Arson was making comparisons to the fourth place being a trophy, I think that's about the time where
another fans were like, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, nope, we've had enough of this.
I want to know. You kind of said it a little bit about careening off the road, but your first just thoughts and reactions when you heard that it's finally happening.
There's so many different lenses to look at this
sure.
particular event through. I'm going to start with my fan lens. From a fan lens, my initial reaction as a Tottenham supporter is, like, damn it, I'd like for him to stay, like, because I've enjoyed the stagnation at Arsenal over the last few years. It's led Spurs to catch up and even pass by them to a certain extent. So on that side of it, I'm pretty bummed. The other side of it is just thinking about like what is potentially going to come, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be rosy. And that's a point I want to hit on for sure. But I want to give you time to react. Like, what was your reaction to it?
It was like Joey from Blossom. Whoa, action! Ooh, first,
there's a reference for the kids that listen to the show.
Yeah. Harkens back to last week's episode.
Here, wait. So if you really want to make a connection here. To modern day.
Sure.
Joey was a male character on a show called Blossom.
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 Was about a girl who was blossoming.
Yes.
Right?
Into adulthood.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, her name was Blossom.
But, yeah.
But there's obviously some multiple meanings. It was kind of like.
Oh, man.
Teenage years.
Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to be like, okay, why are you bringing her up? Mm-hmm. She's now on Big Bang Theory. She's Sheldon's girlfriend.
Yeah.
So if you're looking like for some sort of a television modern day connection, that's who it is. But
she is Blossom.
Can I do the Joey woe? Like, do you think could you do it?
I don't know if I could do a good one.
I want to at least hear you try.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right,
that's pretty
I think
good.
You have to hold the
isn't it more like whoa?
Yeah Now see, now I almost have to go and like listen to one.
Yeah, that's true.
I just have it kind of like just the memory in my head. But yeah, there was a whoa factor to the, like, hey, this is actually happening.
I'm now falling down. Last week it was the 80s and 90s television commercials.
McDLT commercial. McDLT, hot, side hot, cold, side cold.
Costanza was on to something.
He had hair.
Yeah. Do you remember Blossom's best friend's name?
It was something stupid, wasn't it?
It was Six.
Six.
Like the number.
One more than five.
One less than seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I was trying to think, like...
Maybe her dad was a futurist. Was a big Paul Pogba fan.
Possibly.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of things here. I'm trying to think of a famous six from that era. Maldini, maybe? I'm struggling.
No, I got nothing.
I don't. If you're listening to the show and you can remember a really famous six... shoot us an email. We'll share it because I'll be really impressed. I'll have no way of checking it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like there was definitely like a just pure shock that like, oh wow, like this is, it's happening. So all of the talk about this should happen. Like that talk's officially dead.
Yeah.
The whole like podcast after podcast, show after show, Arsenal fan TV after Arsenal fan TV of this should happen.
Mm-hmm.
It now happened. And so, now it's like...
What do we go over at this point?
Whoa, it happened.
Yeah.
And now what? And why? And so let's start there.
Yeah. I mean,
why do you think he chose now?
Ooh.
He kind of hinted at it a little bit. He wrote this little
goodbye note.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little suicide note even.
Well, it did like make some references to like... Essentially saying, like, yeah, the fans kind of been clamoring for this.
Yeah.
Unrest.
Yeah, I mean, you have to respect him a little bit in that respect. You know, like, he is hearing that. Maybe.
Yeah, but he had been hearing that for for quite some time.
Well, I think psychologically that would take a pretty big beating on you over time, right? Like that would just be really hard to hear for years on end. People calling for your head, people holding up signs for your exit at events that have absolutely nothing to do with your club or your team or your league or your sport or anything, right? Like,
Wenger out has become like a just kind of
it's a meme.
It's a pop culture reference
now. Yeah, it's a thing now. I don't know. This is the problem with all this. We've been talking about it for so long. There's no like person that's clearly waiting in the wings.
Right. There's no successor that's just like, well, obviously he's handing the reins over to.
Right. And even if there was, we've already seen what happens sometimes, and we don't have a whole lot of examples.
When people are handpicked.
Well, not only when they're handpicked, but it's more along the lines of like when a dynastic like person, a monumental person in the history of a club leaves.
Right.
And even with near limitless resources.
Right.
That can be pretty tumultuous. I mean,
we look at the biggest examples in recent history is obviously Sir Alex leaving, mm-hmm. and he appointed David Moyes for some reason to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that had its demise.
Yeah, quickly. It didn't work out.
Another one that obviously didn't work out for much different reasons is Jurgen Klopp, like his actual like. The guy that had kind of been his predecessor in multiple places, mm-hmm. The guy that succeeded him at Mainz, and then Thomas Tuchel is brought over to do the same at Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there wasn't a lack of success there. It was other reasons why he is no longer employed.
Yeah.
By Dortmund.
Yeah, but I mean, I think even in that case, right, like how long was Klopp actually at Dortmund, right? Like it not that long.
Right, but he had left
a pretty sizable legacy, right? I think to your point, like that's not wrong, right? And I think Arsene has undoubtedly left a legacy and that's something else we should come back to as well. But
like, we don't really see that kind of thing happening, right?
No, and it's not only a thing of like Arsene was there, he had all the success, he built the club into being kind of what it is today. But it's also the idea of like Wenger was integral, like so integral in everything that the club did. Like
he was their identity.
He was the technical director for a long time. Like he literally decided and did the negotiating with the teams and agents.
Right.
And everything like that was he did everything.
Right.
When Sir Alex left, he wasn't even that deeply involved in everything. He had influence on those types of things, but he wasn't as deeply involved. United are just now like getting their feet underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that? 4 years?
Sure.
That's a really long.
And Jose will get fired next year.
Yeah, so right. Because it's his third season. So this is how those things go. But you have to wonder like, even if Arsenal appoint the perfect manager, there is no guarantee that this is going to get better. In fact, it's incredibly likely that this is going to get worse
better. There's going to be some reshaping of what Arsenal is to become whatever. If this guy works out and if this guy is seen as the long-term plan, like it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
Him turning Arsenal into his club, which I think is the big thing and probably going to be the most interesting thing to watch with whoever they bring in, is Arsene Wenger has been the identity of this club for over two decades.
Right.
And now you're going to bring in someone else who's probably, and I would say for most Arsenal fans would say hopefully,
mm-hmm.
bringing something very different.
Yeah. That's the problem. Like, do you try to bring in a manager that's going to suit the players you have at your disposal? Do you just say, screw it, let's blow this thing up and, you know, take a couple of years and appoint a project manager? Are Arsenal fans going to be happy enough with a project manager?
I think we all know the answer to that.
And the answer to that is absolutely not, which means it's going to be delightful for those of us who enjoy their misery. But it's one of those things that I'm concerned. If I were in that fan base, I'd be really concerned. Like, while you may be happy that Wenger's gone, he did bring a sense of stability. It wasn't necessarily like not chaotic, but it at least smoothed over a lot of the chaos and kept the ship sailing forward. Now, bringing a new captain, doesn't know how this creaky thing runs at all, and who knows where this thing's going to end up. But I do want to point out, and I feel bad to a certain extent, one, because we bag on him all the time, because neither one of us really have much of an affinity at all for Arsenal. But
no, and in fact, quite the opposite in a lot of cases.
In fact, we enjoy all of their unhappiness. But we do need to take a second to say, like, even if you're an Arsenal fan, and I asked out on publicly on Twitter to see if any Arsenal fans would have any mentions of this. By the way, we got some answers to this question of, like, Arsenal fans, how you feeling about Wenger out now that it's happened? We had a weekend to think about it. No Arsenal fans touched this.
Right.
Like, none.
I think they're still trying to sort out where they stand.
And I think a lot of them. Everyone doesn't want to piss off anyone else with the take that they may or may not still be developing, but I thought that was kind of telling to a certain extent, like the fact that none of them answered that. And we have some Arsenal fans that follow us and listen to this show. And
right.
Even if they don't listen, they comment on our things fairly frequently.
I feel like to an extent, Arsenal fans were Arsene out, or Wenger out, until it actually was Wenger out. And then it's like,
oh crap.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only just, oh no, but then it's also like, well, yes, we wanted him to leave, but you know, we've supported this club for the good during the good times of Arsenal too, and there's a legacy that is left, and there's a, you know, obviously these last couple weeks here of his tenure is going to be a lot of Arsenal fans, you know, kind of just reliving the memories of the good times.
Oh yeah,
of Arsene Wenger.
Oh, definitely.
Which there were a lot of.
Yeah.
You know, newer fans to the game don't know as much about, but there were some, I mean, the most successful Premier League season of all time.
Yeah.
Was the Invincibles there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to get a lot of that. I think a lot of Arsenal fans are probably going to just dwell on that for the next couple weeks of just, well, I'm going to just dwell in the, let's send this man out for all the great he did do during his time.
Oh, well, they absolutely should. That's, sure. That's the thing. And the reason I asked this is I was kind of hoping that we would get answers and that we would see kind of a mix, like some being like, oh, I'm
sure,
I've been waiting for him to go for a long time, or others being giving more measured, like, well, you know, he did a lot for the club and it's been a while since he's been successful, but I was willing to, you know, give him the chance, give him what he's done. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if there was a healthy mix of that, because I have a feeling, especially here in the U.S., where a lot of people haven't necessarily been following that long.
Right.
Do they remember or have the ability to give him the credit for that, given that they may not have even been following the team at that point? So I was really curious about that. I think that's something that I find like fascinating. I don't have to go pick some brains from some Arsenal fans that we know. But at the same time, I just you feel for them as a club.
Sure.
Like they're in this like vacuum right
now. They're now officially going into a what could be a very long period of transitioning.
Yeah.
To something else. Something that they haven't really that it will likely be a departure from the style and brand that they've been for for a very long time now.
If you want to know how long of a time that is, he was appointed September 22nd, 1996.
Right.
It's creeping up on 22 years.
1996.
Can you remember, do you know the name of the club that he played at or coached at prior to coming to Arsenal?
It was a French side, I'm assuming?
It was not, actually.
What?
Yeah.
I got nothing. I'm out.
He was the manager of Nagoya Grampus in the J-League.
Okay.
Won the Emperor's Cup with them, which is like the
big one. You know, that's the big one right there, right?
The FA Cup.
That's the big one.
Hey, look, if it's the Emperor's Cup, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about like the success, right, that he's had over that 22 years.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like trophies that we're talking about. Arsene Wenger pretty much ushered in modern football.
Right.
The way that we know it, players watching after their diets, you know, taking care of their bodies, you know, the professionalism that he's brought, the sports science that didn't exist
Right.
In soccer, at least in any large capacity, prior to his arrival. That was something that he brought on board. So, and everyone in the Premier League quickly copied him. So, you know, Arsenal have had one of arguably the most influential managers ever in Chapman. He was turn of the century, 1900s, literally defined modern attacking or transitional era attacking soccer and tactics for the general part of it. Wenger tactically ushered in a new era in the Premier League and also technically ushered in a new era as well. So he's going to go down as one of those managers that while he had a poor end to his career. Right.
But hey, and I was telling this to one of my Arsenal friends, like, you stay around in sports long, like, no one really gets to go out on their own terms.
What's the...
Everybody stays too long, right?
You either, like...
Die hero
or live long enough to become the villain. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the case in Wenger's scenario. But let's quickly, before we move on from this, it's worth mentioning, who is going to replace
him? Okay, yeah, that was the next thing I wanted to bring up. We've heard the rumors already. Mm-hmm. And jumping back to what we talked about a minute ago about like being successors that are kind of going to carry on in some ways just the Wenger legacy, there is actually that candidate out there who's hanging stateside right now, and Patrick Vieira, one of his former players.
10-1 odds. Reportedly, his recommendation to the board as well. Don't know if that's again, true or not.
See Manchester United about how well that sometimes goes.
Yeah. I don't know if Vieira's ready or not. I mean, I think he does a decent enough job with NYCFC.
I feel like
it's a different beast over here.
If you hear like some of the like talk sport pundits and stuff like that talk about what Vieira's doing here, they paint this picture as if like Vieira has come in and like mastered MLS already.
Like he's some Guardiola.
Right. It's like they've actually won literally nothing at this point.
Yeah.
And he's a lot of their success is on the back of a middle-aged Spanish star that's still just cranking in goals.
Yeah. I find that to be a bit of a weird link. But
yeah.
Also the fact that City were reportedly stashed him there for prepping him for taking over after Guardiola leaves.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really curious one. Let's take a look at some of the other names that are being linked. Also at 10-1 odds, Thomas Tuchel.
Okay.
We were just talking about him a minute ago. He may or may not have taken the job at PSG. Rumored as of today, we're recording on a Monday. Who knows if that's true?
Who isn't rumored to have taken that job?
Well, Wenger is reportedly in the vein as well. Right. He said that he's not retired necessarily at this point.
See, Wenger.
So Wenger.
Antonio Conte has been thrown around for the past couple months about being in or out of that.
Yep.
Candidacy.
Yeah, Conte has potentially thrown his name into that PSG hat as well. Another 10-1 odds name, this is the one I want if I have to pick one.
Okay.
This is who I want. And I'm saying this as a fan of my team.
Right.
Brendan Rodgers at Celtic, current Celtic manager, chiclet teeth.
When I saw that he was up, not just like, hey, Paddy Power, just as having a laugh, threw him on the board. Like,
no.
He's up there. He's up there with the guys that everyone's actually talking about as being serious candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. The only people actually ranked better than him, at least by the current odds at the moment, Luis Enrique, former Barcelona manager, currently
he's
unattached.
Also linked with Chelsea.
Yeah. Carlo Ancelotti, former Chelsea manager.
Right.
Former.
Always linked with Chelsea.
Real Madrid manager, former PSG manager, former Bayern Munich manager. That was where he was
managed,
last most recently.
Didn't he just recently? I thought he just recently managed in like China for like half a game.
Maybe he did a run through the Indian Premier League.
There you go.
Yeah. A little Kerala Blasters action.
If only Berbatov had that.
Last I heard, Ancelotti was actually trying to manage that eyebrow still.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
And then the only other one higher than Rodgers himself is Yogi Löw, Germany manager. Currently, and expected that he'll probably step down from the German national team after this World Cup. Maybe.
So this is kind of making a managerial change in a World Cup year. It's kind of both good and bad.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of options available.
It's true.
They're not going to be available till like
July.
Till July, till the transfer window's already open. Especially the way things are structured nowadays, like teams are literally getting ready to start their preseason tours in whatever country they're heading off to.
Oh yeah, and look, that can make an impact on where a team actually goes. Like if the manager doesn't want to travel overseas, like those are the types of things you have to worry about.
Right. So, so if you let's say they go with Jurgen Klopp, they're waiting till essentially the World Cup's over, because I mean, a good guess says that Germany hangs around for a little bit in the World Cup. So you're talking about you're into July. So that means that you're most likely going to go that first like 2 weeks of July without a manager, which means you're also going to go the first 2 weeks of July without probably doing any incoming business as far as players go.
No. Here's an even crazier part about Arsenal's current situation. Not only do they have all this upheaval that they're dealing with, right? They've placed all of their eggs for this season in the Europa League basket, right? Like they're in the final. They're trying to win that so they can qualify for the Champions League. If they qualify for the Champions League, the qualifying round they get dumped into the Champions League. So you have to like go through a gauntlet to actually make to the group stage now.
Right.
If that happens, you win the Europa League. They would have to cancel a portion of their tour.
Are you telling me that the Audi Cup might be?
Maybe. But this is this, like, you know, you sometimes go like, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, they'll bounce back. They'll be in the Champions League maybe in a year or two or not.
The Emirates Cup.
But this is part of the problem when you have these type of struggles and inconsistency. Arsenal are a club with their payroll that need the income from things like lucrative overseas off-season trips, if they have to cancel a portion of that because they were so crappy that they couldn't actually get into the tournament that they need to get in to actually make their books balance, it's trouble. And for getting rid of their staple manager from the last 22 years, I don't know about you. That seems like a bad combination.
They're also probably going to have to – I mean, they're like a lot of the big clubs that when you have an – not so successful season. There's a lot of weight to be shed on that current roster.
That's true. Dead wood.
Yeah.
Thin it out. Well, after spending nearly 25 minutes talking about just one man.
Any other name you'd throw out there? Not the one that's on the board, but you think might be a.
Well, there's other names that are on the board that I think are
like
worthy.
Simeone,
Simeone is one, but I think that's got Chelsea written all over it. If you ask me.
Well, he's a villainous looking man, and we are the villain,
right?
That's how this rolls.
And he's used to not getting all the things that he wants money wise, so.
You know, like that.
Works well at austerity, Chelsea. Yes. The only other name that I've seen that draws interest, at least to me, there's two that I'll make mention of. One makes sense, the other doesn't. The first that doesn't make sense, Thierry Henry, just too early.
Literally get a job with like the Belgian national team?
Yeah, he's the assistant coach under Roberto Martinez.
Really start doing some actual coaching stuff?
I do love his tactical analysis.
Sure.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you manage, ask Gary Neville. But it's just too early. That'll tarnish his legacy. I just think it's a bad move all around for him. The other name that I thought was relatively interesting was that of Leonardo Jardim, the manager at Monaco, who's had all the success down there.
Sure.
Attacking oriented. Probably won't cost as much.
Sure.
Brings you a connection with that pipeline of French players that come through there. So
it's already established.
That's probably pretty true at this point. I think those are some names. Rafa Benitez being tossed in there.
I love that. I was kind of bummed out to see Klinsmann's name not thrown around there just because of how much that would chap the hides of
side. I would not like that at all.
I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, he's taking that job if it's offered to him. I mean, let's not.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's not fool ourselves.
And there are many jobs he wouldn't take at this point. But that was, I think, quite enough for Arsenal talk for now. We'll get to lament and or tease whoever gets chosen for this in due time.
FA Cup!
Yeah!
Semifinals at Wembley. Wembley all dressed up on the weekend.
I don't even really want to talk about this just that much. Yeah.
We'll start with the match everyone's talking about. United 2. Spurs won.
So weird. This was United were the home side in this. They made Spurs use a different locker room than they normally do. Silly. Just silly stuff.
I mean, but at Wembley, are the, like, generic home and away locker rooms that – I mean, it's not like they were, like, the away locker room was the size of a broom closet and the home locker room, you know, was all marble.
No, I think they're both all marble.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're both probably pretty nice and probably the same,
essentially. I would assume – there's a pretty even playing field. It's more just a familiarity. Like, you know, all your stuff's already there. You don't have to move everything around. You already know how and what you need.
Sure.
Don't want to take a left turn instead of a right because I'm just going to imagine they're mirror images of one another. I don't know if that's the case or not, but.
Right. But it's, again, it's not like United was, you know, they were getting to use the Old Trafford locker rooms. No. They were also in a locker room that they were not familiar with using throughout the season.
Yeah. It's just me being nitpicky at this point.
I mean, if we're picking nits, there's one.
I need to do it. Spurs, despite going up early, ultimately conceding two goals. This is now 8 consecutive FA Cup semifinals that Spurs have lost.
How's that feeling?
Shit.
Okay.
Not enjoyable.
Fair enough.
I don't enjoy it one bit at all.
Anything else you have on that? Dele Alli had a nice little dance there.
No, Dele Alli did, and the nice little backpack kid.
I thought he was going to go through the back of the net when he scored also.
Yeah, it did seem that way.
Slid right on into the back there.
I thought United, well coached, probably one of the better games of the season for them.
Okay.
But outside of that, no, let's just let that match die.
The match can die. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out at the beginning of the pod, the season's over.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about said season. Success? Question mark?
I think we've stayed the course.
Okay. Is that a success?
Marginally.
So you shot par, essentially.
I don't think we've moved backwards at all, right? Like, we've achieved what we wanted to do while we were building the stadium.
Okay.
We're going to – Champions League football is all but assured at this point for next season. I can get on with this.
I feel like you didn't really answer my question.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, another year, though, where there's all the hype going into the season, and there's essentially, when we're talking about tangible things to go, look what we did, really nothing to show.
No. The reason why I'm so uncomfortable about this whole subject, I don't want to talk about it, I'm incredibly nervous that we could see an exodus of very good players. Maybe not this offseason. It could be potentially partly in this offseason, but also in the year to come after that.
So maybe like the next 3 windows here?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
You know, guys like Dele Alli, I'll take that $50 million right now. Like, give me that $50 million, you can have them.
Okay.
But someone like Kane or Eriksen, those kind of things concern me.
Okay. Let's move to the other match that involved 2 teams that, despite what happened in this match or anyone's after that, will probably have 2 off seasons of forced exoduses, of people being yardapulted from the organizations.
Yeah.
Chelsea 2, Southampton 0. Not a ton to say about this one. Southampton played a good game for most of it.
Yeah.
Giroud scoring for Chelsea, really starting to find his feet in the blue kit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, does that make me happy?
Yeah, super sub.
Didn't even need sub, he started. We went opposite. It was opposite day. Morata came on and went super sub.
Ooh, weird.
As he grabbed the second one. A little bit of controversy with a sort of Southampton goal that never was.
No, yes, yeah.
Yeah, a lot made of this one. It's just a big argument more along the lines of just the rules in place.
Uh-huh.
Because by the letter of the law, the keeper is allowed so much protection as far as in a 6-yard box.
Right.
And obviously, as much as Charlie Austin was just trying to play the ball, he still did, you know, connect with keeper and right. cause the keeper to not make the play that he was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
So the ball did cross the line. Actually, if you look at the replay, not only did it cross the line, but you can see where the watch, dude's watch lights up.
Yeah.
To say, hey, that crossed the line.
Yeah.
But he calls it off. It was all for naught, though, as Morata scores the second goal. Chelsea move on. Chelsea now have a final. Nothing big, just playing Jose Mourinho and Manchester United.
Yeah.
Cannot lose this.
This feels like a final.
Wow, we cannot lose this.
That was supposed to happen in like 2004.
Yeah. I mean, I will be joining you in that walk to the ocean.
Yeah.
We drop a cup to Mourinho because he will never, he will never
let you forget
Chelsea hear the end of it.
Ooh. He needs some trophy for them. His thirst for a trophy with United is intense.
Yeah, you got that Europa one that was.
That's not real.
Shabby. Yeah, that's true.
That's not real.
Don't tell our stuff.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right. So that's your FA Cup. Let's quickly whip around the league real fast. Again, not a ton of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And the matches we had, not that interesting, unless you like blowouts.
Yeah, blowouts and or draws.
So, yeah, it a bit for everybody there.
Yeah, how about that?
Blowouts and draws. Let's start with a draw that was a win that was then a loss. Essentially, West Brom 2, Liverpool 2, Liverpool going 2 up in this one. Everything was going great. Salah was going Salah on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, well, this is done and dusted. And yet in the final 12 minutes of this match, West Brom pull both goals back. To get a much needed point. It still doesn't matter. They're still getting relegated.
Nah, yeah, it's a false hope point is what it is.
That's cool. We love those.
Yeah.
Big fan of those.
I mean, there's literally no way they're going to save themselves at this point. Yep. Unless they win out, essentially.
Yeah, there's still eight points back of 17th. And Southampton and Swansea both have a match in hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not going well.
No.
That's over. It's over, Phil.
Day late and a dollar short.
Mm-hmm.
Other action that happened earlier in the week, Leicester and Southampton finished 0-0. That was on a Thursday.
Yeah, there was a lot of Thursdays. There was a Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We had matches all week except for Friday. Chelsea played as well in the midweek. So Chelsea played in the midweek, got a win.
Mm-hmm.
What did Spurs do at the midweek? Not a win?
No.
And thus, in like the span of a handful of days, the daunting 10-point gap between Spurs and Chelsea got halved.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you as well.
No, I wouldn't say that was going well for us or going for us in any capacity.
No.
Looking around into the league at the weekend, Watford and Palace finish in a boring 0-0 themselves.
Yay.
Let's stay on the draw streak. Stoke tied 1-1 with Burnley. Stoke just can't get it done in a way that gives me any sort of hope that they're not going to go down. Over on the blowout side of things, we can always talk about City, who gave Swansea, who are now hanging precariously on the edge of that 17th spot.
Right, because while they're not afraid of West Brom catching up to them, Southampton is close.
Yes. And Swansea are within striking distance even. And they're within striking distance for a couple of these teams. So given their schedule and what they have coming up, nothing is certain at this point, at least for the Swans.
Swans to finish out this season. Go Chelsea at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Bournemouth, the seaside derby.
Yep.
On the 5th, and then they finish up with the two teams right below them right now, Southampton and Stoke. So big six-pointers there to end the season.
Yeah, I mean, huge potential.
You mentioned blowouts. Arsene Wenger's side rolled out a 4-1 win over hapless West Ham.
Classic Arsenal.
Four goals so to classic. Honor the fourth place trophies that Arsenal accumulated and was in love with late on here in the tenure.
Lovely.
West Ham, you're trash.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a certainty at this point.
Does Moyes keep his job?
Yeah, question I think mark? He does. I think he's done enough to get him out of the out
right.
of the mire.
I mean, they're probably not going down. I mean, they're really only 6 points off the drop actually at the moment. They're close to safety. I mean, they're 35 points, so they're close to getting your 40 and you're safe and you're good mm-hmm. to go. But they're just not good at all.
Nope.
And they have City at the weekend, Leicester, United, and Everton. That's how they finish their season.
Not an easy stretch there.
Either. No, that's not great at all. So that's dangerous for them as well. All right, before we go stateside, we have to get ready for the Champions League semifinals that will start this week.
You are probably waiting to listen to this before you watch the games, I'm guessing.
Right, you just went ahead and DVR'd those and mm-hmm. said, I'm not diving into this.
We hear what DJ and Jeremy have to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's go to that game that you absolutely DVR'd that's playing on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool, Roma. Let's just talk in general this matchup. How are you feeling?
One, it seems like a certainty that cold balls were utilized to get these two teams right. drawn against one another. Put the two weaker sides in, so that way you guarantee one of your global mega brands makes it into at least one of them will make it in. And it always seems like the two best teams always ultimately meet in the semifinals. Like, it's just a given certainty.
Yep.
And no knock on Liverpool. But I would say that
both Liverpool and Roma not in that category, the two
that we're talking about there. So one, that's my initial reaction to it. Two, this game's going to be brilliant from a we're an underdog standpoint. It's hard to make the story in my opinion, make the argument in my opinion that Liverpool are underdogs.
Right,
they've won the competition five times.
Mm-hmm.
They were in a final not all that long ago either. They just had a few down years in between.
Sure.
Roma, though, classic underdogs until you remember that they're literally playing in one of the biggest cities in Europe, have a state paid for stadium, and just signed a ridiculous, ludicrous deal with Qatar Airways to be a sponsor. So they're not exactly hurting either, but definitely the underdog matchup of the two, and I think probably the one that has most intrigue, at least as far as storylines go.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to... Yeah, both matchups kind of give you something different. And in mm-hmm. this one, we're getting, underdog's a weird way to put it, but two sides we did not expect to be at this point.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And we're going to get, and one of them is going to come out on top and get into the final
mm-hmm.
and continue a somewhat of a Cinderella story. But they will go up against one of two of the biggest clubs and a side that has won fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Jurgen Klopp, you've already lost a final to one of these clubs.
Yeah.
So, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, obviously the clash of the heavyweights, but yeah. I don't know. Do you see that semifinal that was like the one that's basically just whoever wins this is gonna walk?
No, I don't necessarily think that's the case, but like whoever wins this game will be favored, right?
Sure.
Like, I think that's what the type of situation that we're looking at. So I'm really.
Where is the final this year? It's like Kiev, right?
I think it is in Kiev. Yeah. So nothing like moving it towards hostile territory.
Yeah. So there's nothing going on in that area.
Wasn't a stadium in Kiev was damaged? I think it was like.
Well, that was the, I mean, remember when the U.S. had to move their game to Cyprus against the Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right.
They had a friendly, like, right after things kind of kicked off over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a crazy situation to think about. So, back they are to go. So, delicious football this week and next for everyone to watch in the semifinals. set your DVRs accordingly, because you'll need that so you can listen to us first.
Worry about the Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, after Russia hosted the Olympics, like literally 2 weeks after that, they invade the Ukraine. They're hosting the World Cup this summer. I don't know what they're going to do after that to follow that up. So 2 weeks out after that World Cup, look out, everybody.
I mean, that's a really good point.
And they're kind of already doing stuff now.
Cue in the X-Files music.
Yeah. There it is. Truth is out there.
Let's hop over to this side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about the domestic game going on here. We're in that point of the season where, like,
Everything's going. Up and rolling.
And there's a lot of storylines to follow.
Sure.
And I feel like it's really hard to follow the main storylines that are not Zlatan.
Right. That is a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That story this had a bit of a dip this weekend as they Zlatan and co. Fall at home 2-0 to Atlanta United.
Atlanta with some great tweeting.
Mm-hmm. They did that as well.
In the aftermath.
Sure.
Definitely go check out their tweets. Talking a little smack. A little banter.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Galaxy lose. Atlanta wins. LAFC finally righted the ship from kind of the troubles they had post-playing Zlatan.
Mm-hmm.
They come back to grab a 5-3 victory in Montreal. They went down early in this match. 16 minutes in, they were already down 2-0 thanks to a Piatti brace. They get one back. Then Montreal gets a red card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This game was nuts.
Cabrera gets a red card. He's sent off. Piatti then goes ahead and gets his hat trick to extend it to a 3-1 lead. And then in the second half, LAFC just took over.
Yeah.
Finally became too much as they then go on to score 4 goals
mm-hmm.
in the second half of play for the 5-3 victory. LAFC now back in business there. Other matches though, were pretty good. Crew 2, New England Revolution 2. This game was back and forth
mm-hmm.
the whole way. Jossy Zardes getting back on the score sheet for the Crew. He also tweeted out a picture or put it on Instagram, some video of his son playing cornhole. So he's officially an Ohioan. He's just hanging out on a Sunday playing cornhole.
Yeah.
Sounds like you live in Ohio now.
Yeah.
Other matches, the Dynamo throttle Toronto as Toronto continues to play some very underwhelming football and lose their matches that follow Champions League matches.
Yeah, well, I mean, because of the schedule, they've had to field really weakened sides.
Right, and they've lost every single one of those.
And in very convincing fashion. I mean,
yeah.
The 5-0 thrashing is probably the one that, like, stands out among, 5-1 thrashing by Houston really is what stands out here. But it is one of those situations where the league wasn't willing to move the games for the ball. And, you know, it's not always as easy as like, oh, the league should just do it. There's a lot of factors that go into those things. But it is pretty frustrating when you see a team as good as Toronto. And we all know they're good. Like, it's not – I've heard a couple people that are like, oh, what's wrong with Toronto? Literally nothing's wrong with Toronto. They're about to potentially win a really big game.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Potentially. But to the problem that they're having this season – they lost all 4 matches that were immediately after Champions League play.
Traveling is tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Other matches, Orlando holds off San Jose. They go up 3-0 in this match, and then San Jose claws back to make it a 3-2 final. And then yesterday, Minnesota United, still not good. They lose to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And Portland now kind of moving. They beat NYCFC, despite the fact that Patrick Vieira is
Arsenal-bound.
Has already conquered MLS.
Yeah. Quite the weekend of MLS action. And actually quite a few goals. I think it was 28 goals that were scored in total this weekend.
Yeah.
Matches, the highest ever goals scored in a single match day. for Major League Soccer, something that was tied in the very last week of the regular season last year. So
nice.
If you like goals, this weekend in MLS was a good time to actually tune in.
Let's move quickly to the USL. FC Cincinnati hosting their second home game of the season.
Yep.
Hosting the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Same name, new logo.
Mm-hmm.
Much better logo.
Much improved. A little crew ape-ish.
Well, you know.
It's neither here nor there.
Same colors, so. What you gonna do?
Well, you know, the German checker pattern and...
Pittsburgh is a extremely German town.
The crest within a crest.
Yeah, there's that.
That's a thing. The slight potential reference to the Rochester River Dogs with the paw. I don't know. I'm making stretches.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. There's a lot going on in that logo.
Yeah.
Good looking logo, though, and it's working for them. They had not allowed a goal going into this match.
Yeah.
FC Cincinnati clawing back twice in this match to get a draw, get the 2-2 draw, earn a result at home, their first point at home of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match.
Yeah.
It
was a good match.
It's early goings.
Slow starts are certainly a concern, but I think the positive thing here, FCC battled back from a hole twice. That's not something that we've seen this team do very often in times past. Usually once they went down further. This is a side that's capable of fighting and showing some spirit. So if nothing else, there's definitely some positives to take from it. And honestly, the second half is the best 45 minutes of football I've seen this team play all year. So promising.
Little City at home and dropping points as they give up. It's interesting. Atlanta United, both their MLS squad and their B squad, found themselves earning penalties after the 90th minute this weekend. And in the case of Atlanta United B or 2 or whatever they're called, this meant that they earned a draw against Louisville. So points dropped there. Tampa keeps going. Teams at the top are kind of the teams you expect to be at the top, out west.
Yeah.
Sacramento, out east, Louisville, Tampa.
There you go.
Yep.
So USL season's happening.
It sure is.
And, we'll keep on ticking.
Yeah.
This is probably not your podcast to come to for the most USL coverage you can find.
No, it's probably not.
Speaking of not USL things, let's do winners and wankers.
Okay, let's close her out. Winners and wankers. Give me... You slaved over it for a while there. Your winner.
I did. It was tough for me to unearth this one. My winner this week, I'm going to go to someone who I've already given it to recently, but I'm going to do it again. Have to give it to Zlatan for probably one of the most audacious... ego-filled quotes of all time.
Might have been also my winner.
When asked, what can you do to help develop American soccer?
This was on the Dan Patrick Show.
Mm-hmm. Zlatan gave this answer. I have my wife. I got my two kids. If I was single, I would spread some investments here in the U.S.
Sprinkle the investments.
And you would have future legends in the soccer. But sorry, I'm already occupied by my wife and two kids.
You got to go back and watch or listen to this interview going down. Dan Patrick was caught off, didn't even fully realize what Zlatan was actually saying when he was saying, because it was that whoa, wait, what?
Well, it was said out a little oddly, one.
Right.
Two, it was kind of wait a minute.
That
this guy says the best way that he can actually impact the soccer development in this country is
impregnating women.
Impregnating women. Unbelievable ego. Just.
Oh, the whole interview.
Drenched.
The whole interview is quite amazing.
Oh, man. Now I'm going to have to go watch the whole damn thing.
Go listen to it.
So I say that was your winner as well.
That was my winner as well.
All right.
Well.
So I've shared.
Sprinkling investments all throughout the U.S.
Sprinkling investments. Definitely going to have to make that one the episode name, which means it probably won't happen. Let's talk about your wanker then.
My wanker. I really went after this on Twitter this week. We mentioned it. We actually didn't do a full breakdown of it because of obvious reasons. The CONCACAF Champions League final, leg one, was this week. And you're probably saying, wait a minute, I didn't remember watching that. I must have missed that when I was flipping around that night. No, you didn't, because it actually wasn't on English television.
Yeah.
It was not broadcast in English on TV. Mm. It was, however, broadcast in English on the Go90 app. So, and here's my beef. CONCACAF Champions League,
mm-hmm.
I actually like it. Like, I follow a little bit of League MX. I obviously follow MLS. So, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of clubs in it that I feel like I want to watch. And the CONCACAF Champions League has really struggled to gain relevancy in not even just the U.S., but even, yeah. even you know, to some extent in, like, Mexico. Having not only the final, but the entire tournament exclusively airing on an app. I get it. Hey, it's 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We're all moving away from your more conventional ways of doing things. Not if you're trying to, you know, plant your flag, you aren't.
No.
The Go90 app.
No.
The Go90. So, hey, you want to watch this? Yes, I do. I want to watch this game. This game seems really important for me. What channel can I put it on this, you know, this expensive TV I own?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, none of them? I have to watch it on my phone all night?
I mean, you do have to wonder a little bit, is that like a demand issue, right? Like, is there a demand great enough to...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. They were on Fox mm-hmm. for last couple of years. You know, last year, I remember, you know, there was matches that were aired on, like, Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. That's also not amazing.
Well, the UEFA Champions League is doing that this year.
Sure. So. But they're doing that with the one that they cannot find a spot for
yeah.
on actual channels.
Fair enough. Excellent wanker choice.
So, CONCACAF Champions League, please take us seriously and watch our games on the Go90 app.
You're a wanker? Hope you have Verizon. My wanker, I said there wasn't going to be anything about USL. I lied. I'm going to defend the club that I work for here in okay. this. You may have seen the news with the West End Stadium deal mostly getting ironed out.
Outside of the fact that it directly affects my current job.
Sorry.
Then no, I have not heard of this.
No, okay. Otherwise. What everyone noticed in the aftermath of this is that all the paperwork that was being referenced had the club listed as Football Club Cincinnati,
right.
not Football Club Cincinnati. Right. The reason for that is the MLS business, should we get it, all goes into one bucket and has expenses and assets and liabilities related to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the USL one has the same thing, but ones that are specific to them. So ultimately, we had to have two different corporate names in order to actually structure this thing appropriately. Foosball Club was one of the ways that we could do that, the official name being Football Club for the team itself.
Sure. Football, but okay.
Is that part of potential rebrand? Well, I'll let you draw the lines in between there and connect the dots. But
well, I think the dots I would connect would be quotes that directly came out of the mouth of your boss.
Oh, yeah.
Where so, he said, hey, if we go to MLS, this is what we are.
Yeah, it's a good point. All that said, everyone lost their mind about the foosball that wasn't from Cincinnati. Most people in Cincinnati got it, right? They're right. like, I either German. Like this a lot or I don't like it a lot, but I understand why they did it. The national media had a field day with this, using it as a point for mockery. It showed that we weren't authentic enough, blah, 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 blah. I hate this opinion.
Right.
Literally, and not because I work for the team. Like, there have been some atrocious names. Is this as bad, remotely as bad, as Real Salt Lake?
Right.
Oh, no. Doesn't even hold a candle to
something. Talking about that Spanish...
royal coronated yeah. team that just gave themselves a royal...
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But two, what the hell is authentic? Like, who gets to define that? And why isn't authenticity looked at in the way that it should be? And that's because it's subjective, right? It's all opinion. So I just, if you don't like Foosball Club, that's fine. It's not for right. you. It's for people that live here that enjoy that, that
well, and I
like that connection.
And I think I echo what you say and what really, if we all are being honest with ourselves, we're fine with people having opinions. We're fine with people having opinions that are part of something.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like your town or your thing, and somebody who doesn't have any kind of tie or understanding of said town or thing throws their two cents in like they have really read the room.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Yeah. Normally when people give that off, they've not read the room.
No.
No.
Not in the room.
Yeah.
They're not in the room.
Yeah. And if you don't like, that's cool. It's not a big deal. Nothing's going to change it.
They don't know where the room is located. Mm. They actually can't spell the name of the room.
That's a good point.
So there's that.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the show.
Yeah, it's probably the right time. As always, if you want to get a hold of us, please do. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com via email. Jeremy's at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. I'm at wrongsideofpond on Twitter as well. Answer our questions. Do just get involved, mainly so we don't have to create as much on our own.
Sure. Less work on us. It's like the radio show. Like if you listen to like a sports talk show or a talk show, and they say, "Hey, we're just taking calls today," that's code for, "Hey, I didn't prep. Fair enough. Can you guys come and
bail me out with some content?
Spout off your opinions.
Seems like the right time.
And that's what we're looking to do here.
Yeah. As always, thanks for listening. Give us your content. We want it. We're thirsty for it.
Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All things go, drove to Chicago.